The first U.S.-bound Dreamliner has rolled off the line. Airbus opens a big new plant in Wales. And the USDOT gives a mixed report card to U.S. airlines. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, October 17th, 2011. Final assembly of the first Dreamliner slated for delivery to a U.S. domestic airline was completed by Boeing Wednesday night. United Airlines will be the first North American carrier to take a 787 delivery, with plans to introduce the first of 50 Dreamliners into revenue service in 2012. Over the next several months, the aircraft will move to the next phase of completion, which includes final cabin configuration, installation of engines, and painting. Boeing will configure United's first 787 with 36 seats in Business First, 63 seats in Economy Plus, and 120 seats in Economy. The aircraft's use of lightweight composites and modern systems promises greater efficiency and passenger comfort. Continental and United each ordered 25 Dreamliners before they merged. British Prime Minister David Cameron officially opened Airbus's new wing factory in Wales Thursday afternoon. The state-of-the-art manufacturing facility will assemble the wings for the new A350XWB long-range aircraft family. The Prime Minister joined hundreds of guests and Airbus employees to unveil what has been promoted as an environmentally friendly Airbus North factory at Broughton, Flintshire. 650 people will eventually work there, and the plant is bigger than Wembley Stadium and one of the largest manufacturing facilities to be built in the UK in recent years. Air France and Airbus have completed what they're calling the world's greenest commercial flight, combining the latest fuel and air traffic management technologies. The flight of an Airbus A321 from Toulouse to Paris for the first time combined the use of 50% biofuel in each engine, optimized air traffic management, and efficient continuous descent approach to cut overall CO2 emissions by half to 54 grams per passenger kilometer. Airbus has delivered China Southern Airlines' first A380. During a celebration ceremony held Friday at the Airbus Delivery Center in Toulouse, the first of five aircraft ordered by the airline was handed over by Airbus President and CEO Tom Enders to China Southern Airlines Chairman Cai Shenmin. China Southern Airlines becomes the first operator of the Super Jumbo in China and the seventh globally. Powered by Rolls-Royce Trent 900 engines, the aircraft will be initially operated on domestic routes between the major Chinese cities of Beijing, Shanghai, and Guangzhou. The airline will eventually deploy the A380 on international routes. At the ceremony, China Southern unveiled a cabin featuring a total of 506 seats in a three-class configuration. That's 8 luxury first-class suites, 70 lie-flat business class seats, and 428 in economy. The other carriers that currently have A380s in their fleets are Singapore Airlines, Emirates, Qantas, Air France, Lufthansa, and Korean Air. The U.S. Department of Transportation says the nation's largest airlines recorded a rate of on-time flights in August that was an improvement over July, but down from August of last year. Data reported by 16 carriers shows an overall on-time arrival rate of 79.3% in August. That's down from 81.7% in August of 2010, but up from 77.8% in July of this year. There were 3 tarmac delays of more than 3 hours in August, compared to 1 in both August 2010 and July 2011. More detail and data history can be found at www.bts.gov. The DOT has given final approval to a slot swap proposed by Delta and U.S. Airways that will mean changes in the number of flights each airline offers at LaGuardia and Reagan National Airports. Under the new agreement, Delta will acquire 132 slot pairs at LaGuardia from U.S. Airways, and U.S. Airways will acquire from Delta 42 slot pairs at Reagan National, as well as the rights to operate additional daily service to Sao Paulo, Brazil in 2015. Delta also will pay U.S. Airways $66.5 million in cash. The airlines will divest 16 slot pairs at LaGuardia and 8 at Reagan National to airlines with limited or no service at those airports. In a joint news release, the two airlines said the DOT's final order represents a clear recognition by the Obama administration that the slot transaction is in the public interest. But The Street reports the U.S. Department of Justice plans to look into possible antitrust implications at Reagan National. Up next on ANN, a new propeller speed record is set in Utah. NASA inks a deal to use Virgin Galactic for suborbital research. And EAA will induct 5 into the Hall of Fame this month. You're listening to AeroNews.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, October 17th. I'm Paul Plagg. On Tuesday of last week, while we were in Las Vegas covering NBAA, a new official world speed record was being set by Will Whiteside of Windsor, Ontario, in a Yak-3U. The flight took place at the Bonneville Salt Flats here in Utah. Whiteside flew his modified plane to an unofficial speed of 416 miles per hour. If the record is certified by the FAI, it will be the fastest speed ever for a propeller-driven airplane weighing between 5,000 and 6,000 pounds. The attempt was monitored by the National Aeronautic Association. Whiteside flies for both the Steadfast Racing Team in the Yak and the Voodoo Racing Team in a P-51. His day job is working as a corporate pilot. An airline's Papua New Guinea Dash 8 reportedly went down Thursday in a storm on a flight from Lee to Medang. The flight was said to be carrying parents on their way to a university graduation. There were 32 people on board. 4 have reportedly survived. 1 passenger, both pilots, and another crew member, according to the Australian Foreign Ministry. AFP News cites the Papua New Guinea Accident Investigation Commission in reporting that the plane went down in poor weather near the mouth of the Gogla River, just 13 miles short of its destination. The plane reportedly broke in half on impact, and one survivor said he was able to escape through a break in the fuselage. A Chinese fighter jet went down during an airshow performance Friday in the northern Chinese province of Shaanxi. There have been conflicting reports about the type of jet and whether the pilot survived. A video on YouTube shows the pilot ejecting just seconds before the jet hits the ground, and the Associated Press reports he suffered only minor injuries. A second crew member on board apparently was unable to eject in time and was killed in the accident. NASA has signed a deal with Virgin Galactic for up to 3 charter flights to provide opportunities for researchers to conduct experiments in suborbital space. 1 flight is committed, and if the options for the 2 additional flights are exercised, the contract value would be $4.5 million. Each mission allows for up to 1,300 pounds of scientific experiments, which could include up to 600 experimental payloads per flight. Virgin Galactic will provide a flight test engineer on every flight to monitor and interact with experiments as necessary. That's a capability that has never before been available on suborbital vehicles. If requested, these experiments can be quickly accessed after the landing. That's a feature critical to many types of experiments. NASA's Flight Opportunities Program will be responsible for selecting the payloads to be flown. And finally today, EAA will recognize 5 aviators on Thursday, October 27th, with induction into the EAA Hall of Fame during a banquet in Oshkosh. The 5 include Jack McCornack of Cave Junction, Oregon, who will enter the EAA Ultralight Hall of Fame, the late Tony Levere of La Canada, California, being inducted into the International Aerobatic Club Hall of Fame, John Underwood of Glendale, California, who's earned a spot in the Vintage Aircraft Association Hall of Fame, the late David Lindsay Jr. of Sarasota, Florida, who will enter the Warbirds of America Hall of Fame, and Ed Fisher of Gilbert, South Carolina, who's headed for the EAA Homebuilders Hall of Fame. EAA President Rod Hightower observes, quote, "Each of these 5 individuals serve as an example for everyone involved in flying and represent the best that recreational aviation has to offer," unquote. Fond du Lac, Wisconsin attorney Louis Andrew will also receive the Henry Kimberly Spirit of Leadership Award for his efforts on behalf of EAA and the local community. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves talks about the recently released 2010 NOAA report and why it's not really useful in making real progress on general aviation's accident rate. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.